smiled, oh, Soma here, hello.
Yes, everyone's ready.
Oh, everyone's ready. Now, we begin with Bikpasim Mishpatim. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifnehem. These are the mishpatim, the dinim, that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, will place before the Klal Yisrael. Rashi comments, the first comment, Kvol mokim shenema eile posal asoshenim. Wherever the Torah says the word eile, without a vov, posal asoshenim. Posal means that it's chopped off, like sol achos, posal asoshenim. Like the Mosul Eila tells us, Noyak, Postal Asoshenim, the Deir HaMabel, that was something gone by. There Eila, if the Torah says with a vov, and these are, there Eila, Mosif Asoshenim. That means that we are adding, continuing, together with the first of these divos, Maru Shena Misinai Avelu Misinai, even as the first 10 commandments were given from Sinai, from Mount Sinai, as we read last week, so the same thing now the Dinim of Mishpatim and so on, all Misinai. Now this, the Mizrahi interprets this Rashi, Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mizrahi, who is the prime commentator on Mizrahi, says that this continuing of the message of Mount Sinai didn't stop here in Mishpatim. It continued all the way through Bahaloscha. At the end almost of Bahaloscha, the Torah says that in the month of Iyar, it means a month, 11 months after Matan Torah. Matan Torah, remember, was Rosh Chodesh, Sivan, Nikuma HaSinai, 6 days in Sinai, which was fine, and this continued on and on and on and until the following spring. In the month after Nisan, 20 days in the month of in other words, 11 months, the Kol on Har Sinai, Har Hussein is Sinai, as Rashi says, of this continued until almost a year was up, a year minus 10 days, until the month after Nisan, Iyar, 20 days. The Dosan of Pshat, Azizok the Mizrahi, and the Taz, in his Chibur and Chumash, called the Divrei David, he also endorses that. And I want to note here, there is a very strange comment of the Aruch HaChaim. The Aruch HaChaim is known also as a commentator, one of the primary commentators on the Chumash. The Aruch HaChaim HaKodesh, as he is known, and he came from Morocco, and he settled in Eretz Yisrael, and he has a commentary on Chumash, Aruch HaChaim, and he maintains he is at a quandary to understand where in the world did the Mizrahi get this idea that the Muhammad HaSinai continued all the way till 11 months were up, almost a few years. And this is by Mira Pella. I don't begin to understand him. Lani is 90. Malasagya, Morin Tainis of Kofralev. Sethitainus. That is this Mokar, what Rashi over here in Chumash quotes Rashi and Mizrahi Ad Mokia Mesech the Tainus Shav Chofar Tzorchi and Gottel. I don't begin to answer. If any of you gentlemen listening to this shiur have a comment, please let me know about it, either now or any time later. Now let us continue. I want to continue with this pasuk. There is a comment, a most fascinating comment of the Mambara Turim. Ve'ele is a Rosh Teves. V'chayo Odom Lachkor Hadin. These words and the words of Balas Turim are an indication of something, general rules applying to a shofet, to a judge. The first one is v'chayev odom lachkor hadin. That is a chiyuv, an obligation on the judge to be chikya the din, to examine, and not just to look at, obviously, open the book and paskin it, lechakin it. V'yele, ha-mishpotim. Ha-mishpotim is a tositevus. Ha-dayan metzuro she-yashe mishpot per, she-yashe pshora ter-yashe mishpot. There is the mitzvah of Peshoro, of you have two people come to our dentura, to a lawsuit, to a dayan, right? A Yiddish or Bezen, is a dayan mitzvah sheyasa Peshoro. You're talking about two people, and each one is convinced they are correct, that they are in the right. Therefore, the Torah says, a dayan mitzvah sheyasa Peshoro. Tied to make a settlement. When terem yase mishpot, only before he sees that he can find why two people, Reuven and Shimon, he can see that according to what he has the evidence that Reuven is correct or Shimon is correct. Once he determines the din, then he has no right to make a pshara. Because then he is taking away a right from one party. This party sort of won the din, and now is going to be only secondary. Why is it pshara? Took away part of his rights. Hadayin etzura sheyasa pshara terem yasa mishpat. When the lawsuit comes to him, only at the beginning, he has a moral right to make a pshara, not later. And then he says the next word, im shneihem rotzim, asher means im shneihem rotzim, only if you ask the two pshara, would you like to have a pshara? What do you argue with shneihem? Get to a pshara, one of you I'll concede a little, and the other one also a little bit. And then he says, Tosim is a Rosh Teves. Tishma Shneihem Yachad Medabrim. You can't listen only to one party and the other one, you have no right to say anything. Each one of them has the same right. You must give opportunity to Reuven to present all his arguments and to Shimon. Reuven is Shimon. Okay, let us continue now with the neighbor, the main body. Well, there's too much interruption here. One second. I have a competition here from noise. Hold on, please, just a moment. Hashtag. now?
Yes, now is better.
I know the door was open here. Excuse me. Fellow's talking okay. On and on. Hold on, please. Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Yes, we're here.
I must apologize. You know, this place, I must say, they schedule things and they don't. They're not interested in conflict one or the other. All right, let's continue. Now back to the pasuk. Rashi makes another comment. Rashi says, Lifnehem. That the Torah was given to the Jewish people from Mount Sinai, and these are not rules that apply to other kohanim, to idol worshippers, to non-Jews. What is Rashi trying to tell? Rashi continues, even though you are convinced, you heard both sides, Reuven and Shimon. For example, and you are convinced that there is a law here that will apply to this lawsuit, and the same result that you have in the Jewish law books and the Shulchan Aruch and so on, the same law applies in the law books of the non-Jews. So you might think you could take it to a general court, a general in the United States, or a judge in the state of New York, or in the state of Montana, or whatever. So the Torah says, no. Asher tosim lifnehem. These rules are not to be given in a goyish court, in a non-Jewish court, because this is a chilul Hashem. If you have a Jewish besin and there are two Jews having a litigation, it is a chilul Hashem that they should go to a non-Jewish court. As a matter of fact, I must tell you gentlemen, and I was a rabbi for a time in a town in Connecticut called Norwich, Connecticut, the home of the thermos bottle. And the previous rabbi was a rabbi, Joseph Rosenberg, a great scholar. He was there for 40 years. And he was well known for his knowledge of Chesed Mishpat, of the law books applying to a civil case. And the whole New England used to come to him, people in Boston, in up in Vermont and in Maine and so on, if they had it in Taylor, they tried to come to Rabbi Rosenberg to settle it. In fact, there was a Connecticut court in the state of Connecticut in Norwich, and the judge there, a non-Jewish judge, if two Jews came to a dentora, in his court, he would say, gentlemen, go to Rabbi Rosenberg in Norwich. He will settle it. And if he can't settle it, I certainly can't settle it. And it was a big key to Hashem. All right, let's get back to the pasuk. I shall toss him lifneim or lifneim v'kochavim. Now, what is the reason for this? Why is a dentora shayach only to a Jewish court? After all, just like the Jew can open the Chesed Mishpat and read it, that if Reuven says so and Shimon says so, this is the decision. Why can't you have a non-Jewish court? The answer is a Jewish court is different. The court itself, not only are it competent men and judges, and they pass in the Shaila. No, there is a third party. That is the Shechina itself. Kavyohu, the Shechina is there with the judges in the Jewish court. That din, I'll give you an example. That din is, if you have a criminal case, a man is on trial for a criminal case. He was dinan avera, that was your skila, sreva, it is a capital crime. And the man is on trial. First of all, there must be 23 dayanim, 23 competent judges, a minimum, in order to judge a criminal case. Is a man guilty and he must give his life or not? Now, the thing is, if it must be two witnesses that are competent and they should come and they bear witness in the court that so-and-so committed this and this crime knowingly, amazed, not be shaking, and therefore he is guilty of a crime, it is up to the bezin to decide. Now, there was a din of Edim Zomimin. Now, what is the proof? What is the check that the Edis will tell the truth? Because there's a law of Edim Zomimin. What if a woman and Shimon come to court and they say, Edis, they saw Levi commit this and this crime. And Levi is Chai Misa. There's a capital crime. They can put him to death. However, while they're in the trial, two other witnesses come, Sochan Zulun, and they say, how can Reuven and Shimon testify this? They must say that they were with you in the Bioch, Iowa, and we know that they were attending an affair out in Oregon. It's impossible that they should be two places. That is called Edim Zomimin, and Edim Zomimin are given the same trouble, the same punishment, what they wish to. And that is the check upon Edim, upon witnesses to tell the truth. Then the din is, what if Edim Zomimin arrived too late? Bezin had already decided, and the man had been taken out and executed. A man, a woman, but taken out of execution, and then they come, Ilyonu Ha'isem, you were with us in a different spot. Then Hogu, Eina Hogan. Eina Lehogu, if they come in time that the criminal has not been executed yet, then we delay the execution, we say what's going on, and we take And we say that the Edim Zomimin should be punished themselves. Obahogo, what if the judges went and they executed this man before the Edim Zomimin arrived? Einarogen. So the Gemara says, why is it? And actually, it's on a hesed from Rabban and from Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Seder. Kesef Mishnah says, because we know Elohim Nitzo Badaskel, that when judges, when they judge and adjudge, the Shechina is giving them advice, that the Shechina in the Shemayim, they are the ones also who sit. Therefore, if it is destined that this spell should not be executed, the Edim Zomimin will come in time to save his life. If they come too late, that means Min HaShemayim, it was decreed that he should be executed. This was a point that the Zdukim, the Sadducees, and the Bayashani, they never accepted it. They said there was a Kavachema. Lay Hogu Nehogim. Hogu certainly Nehogim. With understanding, this has nothing to do with a Kavachema. Is that the two? What is the Rotson of the Shechina? What's the Rotson Hashem in the heavens that we should be siding with it? So therefore, the Torah says, Lifneihem, We cannot have a dentera by the Chomer. Chomer do not have the Shechin Emoim. So therefore, we will stop here right now. That's so much for the first Pasuk in Mishpatim. Now it's a big center, so we must be Mikat some of us we can do. Now the Torah continues. That's the first law, Ki Sikne Eved Ivri. If a court decides that a man should be sold, why they caught him stealing, and he must pay, he cannot afford to pay for it. Therefore, the Torah says that he can be sold as an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, not an Eved Kanani, Eved Ivri, and this will not be forever. But Eved Ivri is Sheish Shonim for six years. 6 years. And at the end of 6 years, he goes free. Unless, of course, he decides he likes this life, has a good boss, the boss takes care of him, and all he does is in Alabama, he has to pick cotton, and he has an abode, has a little hut, and he lives there, and he has, if the boss has an old suit, he gives it to him, why not? So he has control, and of course, he feeds him regularly with good food. So he says, it's not a bad life. If I like my boss, and I like the wife that he's given me, and the children, otherwise little slaves too. Then there is a procedure known as a tzio. He would take the man over to a wall and puncture his ear, a process known as a tzio. And then then he remains a servant forever. What does it mean forever? Rashi says to him, why doesn't the Torah write Vavodai Le'ovlom, why Le'ovlom? Usually, and what happened was that unfortunately the Yovel disappeared. There was a period in Jewish history when they settled in Israel, and then came Sancheirav and drove away captured some of the tribes, and there weren't 12 tribes in Israel. Then the Yovel became bottle. And since there was no Yovel, therefore this Ratzio puncturing his ear is Avodei Lo'olam Mamish. He was forever and ever a servant. All right, let's continue. Now the Torah continues, Makei Ishwa Meishumos, if a man should strike somebody else mortally, he should be put to death, a murderer. But then the Torah says, Umakei Ovevi Meishumos, if somebody should strike his father, the Imai, or his mother, Moishumos, that is a capital crime, hitting one's own father. Now, there is a whimsical pshat here. Umake oviv, if somebody has the chutzpah, the nerve, to pick up a brick or a strap or something, to strike his own father, who brought him into the world, who was his best friend, Hashem in Re'ei, that the best friend that a person has in life is his father. Makei Oviv. Do you know why? Ve'imai Meishumos. Who is responsible? His mother. And there's a mice in the Gemara in Baba Basra. If anybody's learning Cheskes Sabbatim, the very end, there's a mice. There was a Tana by the name of Rebbe Noah. And a very peculiar, weird case came to him. A man was on his deathbed, ready to pass away, and he heard his wife saying to his mother, to his daughter, my dear lady, why aren't you more careful? Are you so careless that you go around with strange men and you do it openly? Do you know, take a look at myself, she continued, the lady. I myself, your father is really an old man. I had relations with a lot of other men. And therefore the children are not even his. They are what we call mamzerim. And he's unaware of it. I only have one son that is really his son. And this man lying on his deathbed heard it. And he said to the people around, I am leaving all my estate, all my fortune, to my one son. The other nine are not my sons. And after he passed away, they came to Rabbi Noah. Please tell them, who is entitled to the Yerusha, to an inheritance? And Rabbi Noah shrugged his shoulder. Gentlemen, how in the world should I know? Look, why don't you go to the cemetery where your father is buried and tell him to rise up and tell us who is the one? And we had 10 sons officially. 9 sons went to the cemetery and they had instructions from Rabbi Noah, and they took a stick and they hit the stone, you know, the monument, and they said, please get up and tell us who is your son. One son out of 10 didn't go. Rabbi Noah said, he is the inheritor. He gets everything. Instinctively, he did not want to go to shame his own father. He had an instinct that it was his father. So the Torah says, Makeish, if somebody has the chutzpah to strike his own father, you know, is responsible. The mother, because she, unfortunately, had children that were strangers to their father. And that's why they have the chutzpah and the nerve to do a thing like that. Now let us continue. Yeah. Then the Torah says, of course, that if a person is injured, so rapo yirape, the Torah gives permission to a doctor, somebody injured physically, that he has a moral right to go to a doctor. You might think that if it's destined that a person should be injured, that came from the Shemayim, from heaven. Hashem decreed it. What right does a human being have to mix in it, to try to heal it? Taylor says no. Verapo yirape. A rove has the right, a doctor has the right to heal someone. As a matter of fact, not only has he a right, it is a mitzvah. Anybody who is competent, there is a mitzvah that he should heal. You know, the Vilna Goyen, his father, did not let him go and study medicine. He knew all the Torah, of course, and he knew all sciences except refuah, except medicine. Because his father said to him, don't you dare learn medicine. If you will learn medicine, you will probably be the most prominent doctor in the whole Europe, and people will come to you from all over, from Russia and from Austria and from France, etc. And people will come to you because you have a famous name, and you will be mechuyev, you'll have an obligation to not to sit to learn, but to take care of the injured person. That's a mitzvah, a mitzvah. And I'm telling you, there is no greater mitzvah than what you are doing. The only guy was absorbed in study day and night his whole life, lived to be 77 years, till 1797. And therefore he was the most famous rabbi in the world. And that's what his father understood, that Gadol Talmud Torah, Talmud Torah learning is the greatest mitzvah of all. So he says, don't substitute the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, the mitzvah of Refer Cholim, the mitzvah of healing the sick. That is also a great mitzvah, but it is not greater than learning. Learning is the greatest of all. So he says, I don't give you permission. So the Goyen never learned before. But Refer, a doctor, does have the life. Now, incidentally, the Shulchan Aruch says, is somebody a doctor by mistake? He makes the wrong decision and he performs an operation and the patient, God forbid, passes away. He must do what the Torah says. If somebody murders somebody innocently, he must go in Golos. So this man must also has a punishment. He shouldn't stay home. He should move into the other mikvah, which is very difficult to understand. The man was a shogeg. The man did it with all sincerity. He made a mistake. Why should he go in Golos? All right, that's a separate part. Let me continue because it's short. Then the Torah says, "Chiyake ish es avdoi o es amosai." But Shevet, if somebody has a slave or Omar, a female slave, Evan Kanani, a Shevet, he's with a stick, unfortunately, this slave was hit so hard that he passed away, the boss should be punished, he should be put on trial for a capital crime. However, if the servant didn't pass away immediately, he survived one day or a few days, lo yukam, then you cannot punish the owner, ki chaspohu. This is his money. What do you mean his money? That is his property. Lada, a Nevet Kanani, it's the tailor realizes that it's possible to have a Kanani, like in the South in the United States, they had slavery. But of course, many of them, unfortunately, didn't observe the laws that we have to watch the health of the slave. And the tailor says, if you hit the slave, just give him even a good beating, but he doesn't pass away right away. He survives. So, of course, the owner has a right, a moral right, to force the slave to work. Whether the slave is too lazy to work, that doesn't mean that he can get away with it. The owner can give him all kinds of makas, but he should not to overdo it. If he hits him with such a might that he dies on the spot, that means that he overdid it. Okay, let's continue now. Then the tailor starts, we're going to skip all the laws of punishment and so on, of injury. Now the tailor talks about shor. Shor oseh. Ki yignov ish shor oseh. A person went out, he's hungry, he's starving, his wife and children are starving, and he goes and steals a shor, an ox, oseh, a sheep, and utvocho mechoro, to hide the theft. He goes ahead and he shechs it, he slaughters it, or he sells it to somebody else. And then, of course, he is caught by witnesses. So the Torah says, Chamisha boko, yishalim tachas asher, he must pay not once, but five times the value of the bucka, of the sheil, and if it was a seh, a sheep, v'albatzein tachas aseh. Why should there be a difference? Remember, when a person steals and he's caught, then there is a kefil. He must pay not 100% the value of whatever he stole. He must pay double. He went and stole an ox. An ox is worth $1,000. And when went ahead and stole it, they catch him. He must pay $2,000. So he went to a knas, a fine. If he went and after he stole it, he tried to hide it by taking it to a shechet or himself shechting it and hiding the meat in the refrigerator, right? And there's no identification, who knows where it came from. Then if he's caught and people bear witness, we know that this is stolen goods, then he must pay five times the sheir, four times the seh, four times the goat or the sheep. Now Rashi says, why should there be a difference between goat and between sheep and between an ox? Omar Meir, because you see the ox, besides depriving him of the ownership of the ox, he doesn't have now an animal to work with. The sheir was the one who plowed the field and everything. They had no automobile. They had no tractor. So they had a sheir, an ox. They would harness the ox into a plow, and they would plow it. Now the ox is somewhere stolen. So therefore, when a person steals, he gets a fine, double. If he tries to shecht it and hide it, it doubles again, four times. But the male says the sheir is also a fifth time because he deprived the owner of the work that he could have done with his sheir. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai says a different reason altogether. That a person, when he stole the sheep, he went into the barn and he stole the sheep, and as he walking out, and he was in a hurry, he puts the sheep on his shoulder, and he runs away. A sheir he can't put on his shoulder. Too big. So a sheir, he leads with a rope or a chain, whatever, he reads him out. And therefore, this seh, the sheep, he was shamed carrying a sheep in the middle of the street. Who does this? So therefore the tale says, instead of paying five, you are given a discount. You only pay four. Sheir, you have a fine of five. Why? The first fine was double. The second fine, when you shechted it or you stole it again, it's 2.5 times. How about the seh is only 2 times? What is the difference? The Torah says in the Sefer, the difference is very simple. According to Reb Meir, you should get fined double, four. The fact that a sheir is five, for sheir, the ox, is an exception. They had one. But according to Reb Yechon ben Zakkai, it's just the opposite. Since he goes ahead and compounds, it's not enough for, he should pay five. And the seh, the sheep, gets a discount because he saved him by carrying it. Oh, with this pshat, we understand the mashal. The Gemara says David HaMelech, you know, he saw Bathsheba once, and he sent a messenger, and he took it to himself, and then they married and so on. And Noson HaNovi, the prophet Noson, came to David and he was angry with him. He says to him, Adoni HaMelech, my master, the king, I'm going to tell you a little story. It seems that a fellow went, and he was a rich man, he had a few hundred sheep, and next door to him there was a poor man, had one sheep, and he nurtured the sheep, he fed her, and so on and so forth. One day there came a guest to the rich man. Instead of taking one of his own sheep, goes out and takes away the sheep of the little man, of the poor man. What would you say to such a man? And David, when he heard it, he was furious. He says, a man like that, first of all, Akifso Yisalim Abatoyim. He should repay the cost of the sheep and four times more. In other words, if the sheep is worth $100, give him $500. So the Marshal says a sheep only should get three times more. Right? So the Marshal says, because originally a sheep should also be five. But over here, they took one, a discount. In the case of Dovid HaMelech, with that, there was no discount. All right, let's continue now. Then comes the laws of Shomrim, laws of a, they call it in English, a bailiff, I think, a guardian. Then the Torah says, Ki yiten ish el reyehu, a person gives his friend kesef or kelim lishma, he gives him silver or utensils, diamonds or a silver cup or whatever, lishma to God. He's a shomer. The gunav beis ha'ish, if it's stolen, it's careful and so on. Then the Torah continues, Ki yiten ish el reyehu, if a person, not utensils, but living animals, a chamer, a donkey, sheir, an ox, or a seer, or a sheep, any behemoth, lishmer, to God, or mace, a nishba, then, of course, if the thing is stolen, he has to pay too. You see, in the first case, that he doesn't take any money, it's what they call a shema chinom, to buy, because it's an article, he puts it in a safe, and that's it. Doesn't have to worry about it. But in the case of an animal, nobody would do it for nothing, so he has to pay him for taking care of the animal, putting him in a barn and feeding him and so on, and watching it. So therefore, there's a difference in obligation. Shema chinom, the only thing that he has to pay for is complete to what we call a pshia. Pshia means he puts the article away and he forgets to lock the door. Of course, only came and stole it. Right? So he has to pay for the stealing. It's a pshia. That's a crime. In the second case, he's getting paid for it. Of course, he's not going to let the animal out. The animal is in the barn. He locks the barn. However, there is a thief. Somehow he gets into the barn and he steals the sheep or the animal or the chamer or whatever. Then he has to pay for it because you were not careful enough. It's a different kind of obligation. Shemel Sokho, a person who is paid, has a different obligation than a person who does a favor for his friend. So the Torah says, there you are, mechuyev to pay. Now I want to tell you an answer. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Ishus. The Rambam says that when a woman, a married woman, and she breaks, unfortunately, in a big party, it was Purim or was Yom Tov, whatever, and she has stacks of people, you know, and after Yom Tov, there are bunches of, and unfortunately, she drops three or four of the plates and they break. The Rambam says she does not have to pay for. The husband can take her to court, but she does not have to pay. Why? If he will insist she pays for anything she breaks, there will be no sholem bayis, be no peace in the house. Next Saturday night, you'll have a stack of dishes. So say to your husband, do me a favor, please wash these dishes. You die. If I'm afraid I may drop one or two, then I have to pay for them. So the tailor said, no. Show him bias, you don't have to pay. Show him bias, you potter. Visit the Rambam. Otherwise, be no house. No peace. The Ravid, who is very often, you know, he doesn't agree with the Rambam. The Ravid says, I don't understand why the Rambam has to bother with Shalom Bias. She doesn't have to pay. You know why? There is a law in the Chumash right here. In Ba'alav Imoy, Lo Yishalim. If the owner is with him, in other words, when you hire a worker and the owner comes along with him, now, not only the worker is working for you, but the owner too. The owner will watch his worker. You are not obligated for any loss or whatever. But all of Imar Lo Yishalim. So the Ravid says, never mind the wife. The wife is working in the house. The husband is working alongside of her. But all of Imar Lo Yishalim. How come the Rambam didn't accept the argument of the Ravid? Because there is another point to all of this. The din is that Bailim is potter. However, does that mean, what about the Shavua? Every Shomer, every guardian of Jewish law is taken to court. And the owner says, I gave him this shale, this sad to grant, and somehow it's lost. He doesn't know what happened. He has to swear that he is not the person that got it, but took it himself. Maybe he took a liking to this fellow's horse, this fellow's donkey, this fellow's shale, and he decided to take it for himself and tell him a cock-a-moo story that disappeared. The din is he has to take a shvuah, get to court and stare. I did not take it. Now, what about Bailim? The Bailim has to swear. He says, the man came along with me. He's a machlekes, whether the shvuah by Bailim or not. The Rambam says, my stories, that the Shalom Bias is necessary. You know why? Because otherwise he would have to swear. She would have to swear that she was very careful and it dropped by mistake. So therefore, in order, nobody wants to swear. It's a terrible thing to swear. And a court, if you've ever been to a Yiddish court, they will 99.4% try to avoid a shvuah. They didn't say, swear that what you're telling us is 100% correct. They will seldom, very seldom do that. A shvuah, an oath is a terrible thing. The Torah says in the Ten Commandments, Lo Sisa, Shem Hashem and Kehalashem, don't ever take the name of Hashem, the name of God, by swearing for no reason. It must be a very special reason. People are very, even the hospital that goes to court, when a witness comes to an American court, first thing, must raise his hand and swear that he's telling the truth. See? So therefore, the court, the Rambam says that Bilam, he must also swear that he didn't break it. The Ravid says no. If Bilam is potter from paying for it, he does not have to swear either. So we have here a second machlekes, the Rambam, the Ravid. All right, so I'm trying to tell you that the law of Shomrim is a very important law. There is a big section in today's Seder all about different Shomrim. There's what we call a Shema Chinam. You take something. Somebody has an Esrig. Do me a favor. Keep this Esrig till Sukkot. You put it away in the closet and you keep it. Right? You don't want anybody to handle it. So that is simply not taking. You're only obligated if you mismanage. You leave it open and somebody takes. But to shame a sucker, you must be involved. Like Yankee Vavino, he was paid by Lovon to take care of the sheep. So Yankee told the way he was guarded day and night. He didn't sleep, he didn't eat. He was always involved with the sheep day and night. In the daytime, it was hot, and at night it was, of course, a frost. So he was busy day and night. Yankee was a shame. And it's interesting. The only person that I'm aware of in the Rambam who quotes that Yankiv was a tzaddik. The only person the Rambam refers to a tzaddik, a righteous man, Yankiv a tzaddik. Our father, Yankiv, he was a tzaddik, a righteous man. Why? He was honest in business. He never robbed a penny from Lavan. He worked for him day and night. And whatever he took the minimum. Therefore, he is entitled to the name Tzaddik. That is what you can learn from the Rambam. All right, let me continue. Do we have any time left here?
Sure.
We have a few minutes left.
Yes, we have.
Hello?
Time. Yes, sir.
We have time? Okay. I'll be busy 5 minutes, 10 minutes, please. Now the Torah says that further on, Lanche Kodesh Tiyun Li, you should be people of Kedusha, of sanctity. If you have an animal that was torn apart by a wild beast, so the Torah says, don't take it for yourself. Give it to the kelev. Remember, the kelev is the sheepdog. He's watching. Along comes a wolf, and the wolf is stronger than the kelev, and the wolf rushes in and takes a sheep and tears him apart, and this poor sheep is now a trefor. Can't eat it. Right? But don't take it for yourself. You give it to the Ibn Ezra, one of the primary commentators in the Chumash, he says, you can't go and sell it to a non-Jew, because when a wild animal devours something, whether a lion or a wolf or a bear, they have a certain poison in their in the saliva that a person should not eat it. But the kelev, he said, the dog, he has chloric acid in his, he can eat, that's why he can eat bones and chew them up. He has an acid that's not afraid of a little poison. So kelev, that's the place. But it's a mitzvah in the Torah, if you have a trefah, right? Don't sell it to a non-Jew. Give it to the kelev, because the kelev was, you took care of your sheep. Give him a reward. Give him a tip. Right? The Mefoshim ask, why did we never see that in a slaughterhouse where there's bound to be a trefah? Right? Not all the cow, not all the steers and the bulls become kosher. If you ever been in a slaughterhouse, they have to examine very carefully that it should be kosher. And we never heard that they should give it to a dog. Huh? Anybody heard this question? Anybody ever hear it, please? Hello?
Yeah.
Nechemia.
Yes.
Did anybody ever hear this problem? I'll tell you, the Munkach Rebbe said, and the Daki Chua, but the truth of the matter is, it's no kashi also. Well, there was a thesis in Avodah Zorah and Chulin where the Torah says that you have an nevela that the animal dies by itself. You can't eat it, it's treif. You should give it to a ger asher b'sherecha. A ger means a ger teshev. He's an honest non-Jew. So he believes in one God and so on. Right? So the Torah says when you have a nevela, don't sell it, but give it to a pra. So Tesis says, what do you mean give it? You should sell it. Tesis says, an avela in Eretz Yisrael is worth a few pennies. Nobody is a goy. Everybody's Jewish. Nobody eats the avela, we hope. Right? So what do you do with the avela? You have no customers. Oh, if you find a goy moves in somewhere, do a favor, be a bad sport, give it to him as a gift. Because it's only a few pennies. Same thing with trefah. Terence says, a trefah outside, trefah in America, in Canada, in Europe, there it's only worth a few pennies. Give it to the seller. But in Eretz Yisrael, when you have a trefah, that's worth money. That you don't have to give to the trefah. There's no, I'm convinced that the cash is no cash. Okay, we'll stop. Can we stop here? Any questions, gentlemen? Any points that you want to have to clear up? No. Hello.
Yeah.
Nechemia.
Yes.
Is there anybody who wants to ask something?
Yeah, that was a chiddush that the Rambam and Ravid all the Shitasam in Shavua Bebailim.
Shavuot Bebailim, right.
Yeah.
And interesting is Machlekes from the Ketzei Sakreshen and the Nesivas. The Ketzei says that Bailim are potter not only from the monetary value but from the Shavuot. And the Nesivas says, no, he must have. So the same Machlekes that I'm arriving in the Nesivas, and I never found anybody should remark about it. Yes, any other questions or comments? No? Well, basically, our time is up. It's almost 4 o'clock. Right? 4 o'clock, no?
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. We'll be there next week. I think we should start a little mouth about Purim. All right?
Yeah, next week is Parshas Zohar already.
Next week is Parshas Zohar?
Yeah. Truma.
On Truma, but this week you want just two Sefer Teres.
This week is three, the Parshas Shkolim and Rosh Chodesh as well.
Next week is Rosh Chodesh?
This week we have Rosh Chodesh and Parshas Shkolim.
And next week?
Next week is Truma and Parshas Zohar.
Oh, it's only 1 week between them?
Yes.
Okay, we'll stop here.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. A good job, everyone. Bye-bye.
Shabbos, thank you.